I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome to A Pint of Cthulhu. Once again, we are playing Crucible of Aether. And once again, Mike has graciously given us his time to run the scenario for us. Mike, would you like to tell us a little bit more about what we're going to be doing today?
Hi, Mike. I'm so glad to be here. And in case your listeners are not familiar, we're playing Crucible of Aether. It's an upcoming skills-based tabletop RPG. The characters in the game have 40 different skills to use and choose from, and they improve at the skills that they use. So if you try to talk your way through a challenge, you get better negotiating and social skills. If you try to build bridges, you improve your crafting skills. If you choose violence, you improve your combat prowess. So your character becomes a mechanical reflection of how you play the game. We're in public play testing right now, and our Kickstarter preview is live, and we would love for folks to follow it so that they can get more information and learn more about what we've created. With that out of the way, we're going to be playing a one-shot that we're calling Bryden's Day today. And I'm ready to get started when everybody else is.
Let's do it, darling.
Are we already in character? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, yes.
Fabulous.
Awesome. Love it. All right. Snowflakes drift in the wan light of the early morning, each flake wafting in the breeze before settling on tree branches, eaves, and in great snow banks that the wind drives like desert dunes through the forested landscape. The pale snow has suffocated the sonorous cacophony of life that normally accompanies these woods, muffling birdsong and chittering animals and the ruffle of leaves in the breeze. You hear only the occasional crack of a branch giving up the ghost to the weight of snow on its boughs, or your teeth chattering against each other as a draft sneaks in through a window. Winter has wrapped its icy claws around the heart of the Misenland countryside early this year. Ice storms and blizzards have kept you trapped in the Glenstadt Forge Abbey far longer than you planned. It has been weeks since those angry storm clouds first rolled in and smothered the roads, leaving you and other travelers huddled around the fires of this little abbey, sharing meals that grew more and more meager with each passing night. In fact, the snows have kept you trapped so long that the end of the year draws close, and a cold sun rose this morning on the holiest of holidays to the kindlers of this Forge Abbey and the nation of Misenland as a whole. Bryden's Day, a day of passion for craft, gift-giving, and merrymaking. A day when throughout the country, people light up their hearths to share in joy and bounty. On what is supposed to be a holy day, a day of celebration, Urzek the Headstrong, the acting abbot of this little Forge Abbey you took shelter in, has called a gathering in the cramped kitchen over breakfast. Who thinks their character files in first?
Well, I think that would obviously be me, Jory. I'm no I'm the troubadour's bastard, all, but I am a Valthurian guard Darian background, and we boost plumage and whatnot, so, you know, there's a certain sense of self-importance.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you gave a little bit of a description of Jory, and I'm going to lay out a little bit what you see. You let me know if you wanted to try any skill checks to gain more information or maybe deal with the social situation. It's a cramped little kitchen where every stool, chair, table, what have you, from the entire abbey has been packed in here to accommodate all of the people that are taking shelter here in the storms. There are only three kindlers here normally. They're the divine blacksmiths of this order. But there's now fully eight people crammed in here and crammed into this little kitchen. And you see sitting in front of the kitchen oven which is fed by the same fires as the forge, is a stooped over massive Keonosin with a little bowl cut and the vestments of his order. It's Urzek the Headstrong. And he's sitting in front of a bowl of very thin porridge. Is there anything you would like to do as you're the first to arrive here?
Not particularly at the moment. It seems that this obviously is just a straight scene to just kind of wander in, and maybe I might take a seat somewhere and just kind of nose over and see what's going on.
Yeah. You walk in and he makes eyes contact with you. Very intense eye contact this guy has all the time, with these yellow eyes that regard you and say, "Welcome, pilgrim. I have news to share, but we must wait until all arrive."
Yes, as etiquette would demand.
And he gives you a little bit of a nod and just sort of continues to stare off, not quite making eye contact, but just sort of at the back wall. And he's drumming a little bit on his thigh as he looks to the door for the next person to enter. Whose character do you think comes in next?
I think Mo will come in next.
All right. Why don't we give a little bit of a description of your character and how you think you come in?
Mo is a squat little Enkian, moth people with oddly transparent wings and a very long face. He's got that kind of grubby, unpleasant look of a middle like manager in a Walmart or something. You know? Just the sense that this person is deeply unsatisfied with their life, but is maybe tripping on power a little bit at the same time. He's anxiously rubbing his hands together and goes to sit kind of near Ezek, looking at him expectantly.
See, he makes eye contact with you and nods. And sitting close to him, you can see that he's got the drums that he uses to use for his worship as well as for his magic, the magic of the fire and forge, sitting next to him, as well as the artificial limb that he has that articulates and actually plays those drums so that his hands are free. And you can see that it is well oiled and prepared and playing on the air a little bit. It seems as though, although his face is placid and intense, he's quite nervous about something. If there's anything more you would like to try and suss out, you can try a check about it, or we can have Cap come in.
All right. This better be good news, Enkin. Or Erzik, my apologies. We've been trapped here for far too long, wasting yet another year. We only have a few, you know.
He says, "I apologize, Pilgrim. I hope that today might help us get out of a certain situation that we find ourselves in. And I hope that that the smith will look kindly upon your future endeavors." And at this moment, I think Cap's character comes in.
Yes, in slinks, and without any regard to being on time, Scrumphus Moretti. He is a Keonosin, a descendant from the first kin, and he just wanders on in and plonks himself down at the table. He is a rather lycanthropic-looking chap. He's big, kind of muscular, but very hairy, and has those canine features in his face. His eyes darting across the room, looking at everyone with that innate predatory instinct that you would expect from such a man. He doesn't bother the conversation, he just starts getting in about the food.
So you go ahead and grab, it's a very thin bowl of porridge. It's more water than it is porridge, and you've come to expect that the last few weeks. But it is warm, and it is at least something to put in your stomach.
All right. As his eyes dart around the faces in the room, does he pick up anything?
Yeah, I am going to ask you for a perception or investigation check here. And the differences here would be perception, you're trying to notice some new details. Investigation, you are trying to sort of get more information about things you already have, information your character already has. And, you know, when you decide that, I'll give you a difficulty and we'll have our first skill check.
Excellent, no problem. So investigation, we've got under the mental category here.
Yep.
He's got 28 in mental, he's got 28 in investigation. Where's perception then? Perception's under physical, also a 28. Yep. So I'm matching the skills there. Wisdom and intelligence for perception. What have we got here? Same for investigation. So yeah, we're pretty much going for a very similar skill check for either one of these. He's got the same skills in both. So is there anything I need to add to that 28?
So I'm going to give you you're going to decide which skill you want to use, and then I'll give you the difficulty, and you might get different information depending on what skill you decide to use.
All right. Well, he's just woke up. He's not really that. Let's go for wisdom instead of intelligence. He's not really thinking this through.
Okay. So in that case, you're looking for perception.
All right. Perception, wisdom.
Yep. Yeah. So this is going to be a perception check plus 20.
All right, excellent. So roll the D100.
And you want to roll less than your perception skill plus 20.
So less than 48. I rolled a 37.
All right. You got 4 XP in perception. Go ahead and mark that down in the XP column. Mm-hmm. And what you notice is there are only 7 other empty bowls by the main cauldron of porridge. There are only 6 other empty bowls, meaning that there are 7 total. And you know that there are 8 people in the abbey right now. But he only has 7 bowls out.
Hmm. All right. I guess Scrumpus does his wee glance around the room. His eyes dart around, like I said earlier. He notices there's 7 bowls, there's a bowl short. I think he's going to be quite aggressive about this. He's going to sort of growl a little bit and just go, I see a bowl short. Guess the Abbey's hospitality only goes so far.
Serve that or they're dead.
Urzek takes a moment, and he himself is a larger person. He is Keonosin like you, and actually sits up straight instead of slouching over like the weight of the world is on his shoulders, and meets your eyes and says, "No one has died yet, Pilgrim, but we may yet face a test in the name of the Smith soon." And at this point, the other 3 people who you've seen up and about in the abbey come in from the other room. Sorry, they come in from the forge outside bearing some very small loaves of bread to accompany your meal that we're baking in the forge-fed oven outside. There is a second kindler, a very thin Valthurian woman, another bird person. She's smaller, and you've noticed over time, wound very tightly. Her name is Bernice the Deliberate. She is the lowest ranked kindlert in the Abbey, and is answering to the acting Forge Abbot, Urzek, who you've already spoken to. The other two to come in are Jeremiah Hillgrave, a fellow merchant who has been trapped here. He's destined for a factory in the south where he's going to take over as a foreman. And then Jeremiah's bagman, coachman, cook, a Osirian named Rhett. And you all have been quite familiar with each other over the few weeks that you have been trapped together. And at this point, Urzek stands up and makes a formal bow and says, "Thank you all for coming here on this holiest of days, where we face a crisis. And it is divine providence that we should face a crisis on Bryden's Day." And he is, with this very intense stare, going around the room and making unblinking eye contact with each of you with his yellow, sunken eyes, and says, "It is divine providence that we should face this test, and that I should let you know we do not have food to survive this winter. If we do not act in some way, we should starve. As acting abbot, it is my duty to safeguard this community, this accidental community, and take action. I am planning a journey, a test, and a journey. I and several others will journey to the town of Friedberg tomorrow. It is some 50 miles away. It will take some days to arrive there. But there are several orders from merchants in that town that they did not pick up from the forge before the snows came in. And I and those who journey with me shall take those orders and receive payment in food and other supplies that we may not starve this winter. I will not ask for volunteers or drawing lots or anything. I ask that we let the smith decide. Bryden himself shall speak through you and see who shall face the test in the snows. We shall all honor Bryden this day and participate in the celebrations. It is a day to test one's limits and pour your heart into a creation for another, to make something new in the world. And on this day, whoever does not embody this spirit, whoever does not create something of worth for others, shall have to join me in a different test and brave the snows tomorrow. Now eat up, please. You shall need your strength today and the days ahead. I shall help the head abbot break his fast. And I hope, Bernice, that you may take on your traditional duty and explain the day to them." And he makes a small bowl of this porridge and, you know, very stiffly and ceremoniously gets up and walks out to tend to the head abbot, who is ancient and bedridden, and the rest of you have barely seen a hint of him these weeks that you've been here. And the attention in the room turns back to Bernice, who looks rather shell-shocked at this announcement from Urzek and taken by surprise. What would you all like to do?
Well, it seems like the town has gone a little bit down, so I might as well pull out the old squeeze box. Try and lighten the mood a little bit.
And what would you like to do? Would you like to, you know, make a performance check? Okay, awesome. A little performance check to lighten the mood here. And do you think you try to, you know, reach for a song associated with this holiday, or just something to lighten the mood?
Well, I have just been sat here writing something very quickly for the occasion.
Awesome. You actually have something?
I do.
Oh, that is amazing. You're going to get a plus 20 bonus to this check. Bonuses and penalties are tied to role play choices that you make. This is going to be this was a plus 20 check, and then you got a plus 20 bonus, so massive success. You're going to gain 4 XP in performance. Can you describe for me what this performance is and lay it out for me?
It's kind of a simple, it's sort of a simple satire of what we're actually doing at the moment. If you want, I could probably just read it out.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Go for it.
Thin old Gruul, how cruel, how cruel. Stuck in this abbey and we are not happy. Sad with the furry who eats in a hurry. Not to forget our old friend the moth, looking likely to eat the tablecloth. Snow piles high, keeps blocking the sky. With no food around, may corpses be found. Nearby a city, small, what a pity, but the food is a hit and far better than this shit.
That's speciesist. We haven't eaten a tablecloth in our lives.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I love it. And actually, as I'm going to say, you get two things on that fantastic success. The first is that Rhett, the guy who's the cook, makes eye contact with you, and he's got the, you know, double pupils of an Osirian, and it's sort of the segmented and mostly expressionless face of Osirians. But he gives you a little nod at the irreverence to this moment, and Bernice, as you're midway through, comes out of the shell shock of the announcement, and the entire time is making the cut at her throat, or just stop. Finally says, stop.
But they don't call me a bastard for any other reasons.
I understand that you may not like what Urzek is doing. I can't say that I do either, but he would not tolerate irreverence in the best of times, and the last few weeks have not done good things for his judgment. So please, do not make things worse. Please.
Scrumfus is there behind her, looming, and just says to her, make things worse. You think his little ditty, his wee rhyme, is going to make things worse? What's your plan for when the food runs out?
Yes, my dear, do get your cloaca out of a twist.
Well, I will let that slide for the fact that we have been stuck together for some time. He's not wrong. We don't have food to survive the entire winter, but he's not from these woods. I grew up here. I know that the snows will let up soon. They always do after the first of the year. And if we are able to just last another week or two, then we can go out in the snow instead of now. The man has always been a zealot, and I fear that he is trying to make some heroic sacrifice of himself and others in the name of the smith with this test of his. Bryden's Day is not supposed to be like this. It is not supposed to be life or death. It is meant to be a celebration of the things that we can create for each other. Wait, he's coming back. And she shushes the rest of you as Urzek returns empty-handed, apparently having left the bowl with the head abbot, and says, please, eat up. You'll need your strength for today. Bernice, with me, that we may begin by lighting the forge for the day. And she sort of winces and smiles at you before following Urzik outside. And you all are left with the other two pilgrims, Jeremiah and Rhett. And you can see Jeremiah is just covered in flop sweat right now. He is decidedly less used to the outside world even than you are, Mo. He's wearing a rather starched white collar that is supposed to show off his, you know, fine plumage at his neck, and is definitely not built for surviving out in these conditions. Rhett, on the other hand, is sitting there bundled up in his clothing and sort of muttering angrily under his breath. What would you all like to do?
The wolf just gets in his face. He's like, the flop sweat sniffs at him a little bit and says, what's the matter? You never been a wee hunting in the snow before?
I can't say that I have. I've not had the privilege of having to scrape in this manner. I truly don't think they could be correct. After all, who would let themselves starve in the middle of winter? It seems rather gauche.
You must have been straight out of the libraries. Call yourself a merchant. It's not a choice, and you know it. But still, we won't be cold for long, Jeremiah. After this, it's the flames. Which careful would you rather moth risk?
As you say, careful, little mothman. If you get too close to them, you might get attracted by the light.
Feeling faint yet, friend?
He tugs at the collar a little bit and says, I rather think that I am not suited for the journey proposed by the abbot. I was wondering if any of you might be willing to take some coin to throw. The little contest offered today and take my place out in the snow.
I would be more than happy to.
How much coin are we talking? Offering?
Well, that is quite open for negotiation, don't you think?
Can I just brazenly look into his pockets, like make a point of it, like me opening his pockets right in front of him?
This is going to be, I'm going to say it's going to be a command check to intimidate him, I think is the best way to translate that mechanically. And this is going to be a command check plus 10.
Right, command check plus 10. So command's 4 to 8. My strength is at 16.
You don't have to worry about adding your strength. That's already added into the total. What you're going to do is you're going to take the total from the total column and then just add 10 to it and try and roll under.
The total from the total column. Add 10 to it. Yep. Excellent. And he's just going to... Hold on, I'll do the roll first. I'm in select here. Give me a dice, you prick of a system. I'm just going to type it in. Ah, there we go.
Is that a success?
I need to be under 58.
Ah, unfortunate. That is still 1 XP, though, in command, as he sort of...
So, yeah, I'm just going to be like, hey, is there enough coin in there for the three of us? And I'm going to start poking my fingers into his pockets.
He sort of... pulls his jacket away. He doesn't actually like slap your hand away. He pulls his jacket away and says, well, I only need one of you to take my place and throw this little contest. Who might like to make a little bit of coin?
I think we all do.
It all depends again how much you're offering.
Why, I think...
Do you know 50? What? I'm unscrupulous enough. I'll lowball you. Give me 10.
10 pence? I would gladly give you 10 pence to throw this little contest. That would be lovely.
At the mention of 10, Scrumfish just rolls his eyes and starts walking away.
I'll even throw in a lesson so we can be both merchants and make it a trade. But first the coin.
Yes. How about half now and half later?
If you are offering 50 pence and you don't have 10, I might just call the wolf man back over.
Oh. I merely to ensure that you go through with what you've said.
I will. All right, the lesson first then. Look, you little idiot. If whoever goes out there is weak and cowardly and fucks it up, everyone who stayed here waiting on them dies. That's your insurance that I'm willing to go instead of you.
I'm going to say make a business check for me. And this is going to be with a significant bonus thanks to the roleplay. This is going to be a business check plus 40.
Business. Ah, right. So that's 44 and I roll a D100.
Yeah, and you want to roll better than an 84. Oh, yes, you rolled quite better than that. Yes, that is 4 XP in business. You got a substantial bonus for approaching it in that way. And he gulps visibly and says, absolutely, 10 pend. And he reaches into a sock and pulls out 5 pend before reaching into another sock and pulling out another 5 pend to give to you, and the coins clink into your hand. Go ahead and mark down an extra 10 pend in your inventory.
You just hear an ugh, tight bastard.
And at this point, Rhett, his cook, grumbles and says, "Don't I know it?"
Gold, it does glisten, but all do listen, because there's not a penny of the promised many.
Rhett, can I offer you half of this to keep the bird here so I don't have to put up with that?
Gladly. you see a smile hit his eyes, even though his face doesn't quite... Actually, no, you're an Osirian. You would recognize the movement of his mandibles on his face that corresponds with a smile. And to other people, looks rather off-putting. As he holds out his hand for another 5 pend.
I'll give Rhett 5 of my pen to see him screw over Matt's character.
You're not holding me there. I do not. I don't think so somehow.
No, but it'll be amusing at least. And it's always good to give back, yes? The small folk.
He actually, at this exchange, when he takes the pen, he's going to pull you in a little bit closer if you don't like pull away, and says... in a low voice,
"I would rather prefer that we take the safer course offered by Bernice than have half of us risk the snows, don't you think?"
"Usually, I would agree with you. The safer path, avoid the flames at the end of our lives. It makes sense. But her plan is just to hope and wait and pray. I'm not typically religious myself. Besides, the only thing that Enzi, what was it again? Oh yes, Inzek, Erzek, whatever the fuck his name was. The only thing he wants is for us to complete merchant duties. I'm more than capable of that, and I have a suspicion that wolf will be going to see any problems while we travel. I view it as the safer route, but if you want to wait here, can if you wish."
He has a little bit of a sour note to his smile after you said that, and if you want to get any more information, you can try a check, but otherwise he's going to sort of close himself off and sit there with his arms crossed in front of the porridge.
I think I'll leave it there.
Okay. So as all of you have gone back and forth about this, you feel the air in here getting a little bit warmer. It seems as though they've lit the big forge outside, the forge that serves as the center, both spiritually and literally, of this abbey. It heats the oven in the kitchen. It heats many of the rooms, not the library that you've been sleeping in, which has been emptied out and a little bit drafty. And you hear the thrumming through the walls of drums, slow and steady right now, but you recognize it as the drums of kindlers beginning their work. And there's a draft coming in as Bernice opens the door again and says, We're ready to begin, if you all are.
I hope you don't actually think we're going to make metal work, are we?
It would be interesting knowledge to obtain.
Well, Bryden embraces crafts of all kinds. Whatever creations, be it metal or wood or art, that you wish to bring into the world, Bryden smiles on it all. It's merely... Ditty, then.
Not another little ditty.
She grimaces a little bit and says, maybe not, unless you wish to volunteer yourself. And she gestures.
See more the way.
Harsh crowd.
And she gestures for you all to come out and see what you might create.
So what is outside then?
You know that it's the sort of out open air forge area that they use to create things, both worshipping the smith and also fulfilling blacksmithing orders that keep the place above water.
Well, good old Scrumfus here is going to go for just a simple sled. Nice flat bit of metal with a curve at the front in order to get the supplies back and any supplies that they get back to the abbey.
All right. What does everybody else think they might try and make?
Well, I'm an entertainer with a squeeze box at the end of the day, so that'll be my little joy. Musical in nature.
So you're going to try and make an instrument?
Well, I was just going to try and perform. I don't think my craft is actually do I have craft? Is craft a thing?
Yes, all characters have access to all of the crafting skills. It's just a matter of how many bonuses they might have to it.
It's a 35 on woodworking.
Yeah.
And you also know that the Kindler's magic involves bonuses to crafting. So it will be a little bit easier to make things right now than it would be normally.
Huh, nice.
I'll see if I can make a banjo.
I think that Mo is going to find some little, like, scrap bits of iron or whatever and some colored glass and make a fake ruby ring so that you can pawn it off when they get to the town as a silver ruby ring.
Great, yes. So that is going to end up
being... I have a jeweler's kit.
Yeah, I'm going to say that would... And jeweler's kit, and you could absolutely use that use of the jeweler's kit. I believe it's going to be a metalworking check to do that. So you come out and... Urzek and Bernice are both playing the drums with their augmented extra limb. Not quite a tail, more comes out of the back of their vestments. A clockwork extra arm that wraps around to their hip where small timpanis are there. And they're both maintaining a thrumming rhythm together as Bernice works the bellows and Urzek prepares blanks of steel and other metals for the fire. And you all feel suffused with this music, this rhythm, the hammering of the drums, of hammers, the thrum of the fire, and it's warm despite the falling snow and biting wind as it heat radiates from that hot forge. And we are all going to talk a little bit about how crafting works. Crafting is determined by two things. First, the complexity of the thing that you're trying to create, and second, the quality at which you're trying to create it. So something that you want to create at low quality is going to be an easier check. And then there are three tiers of things that you can create: simple, advanced, and complex. And the way that works is that a simple craft requires only one success. So for instance, if you roll on the die and your goal is a 50 and you roll a 49, you succeed, you made the thing, you get XP. For advanced intricate crafts, you require more successes. So advanced crafts require 5 and intricate require 10. And each time you're rolling to craft the thing, the number of over successes, so tens place successes, determines the number of successes towards finishing your creation. So, Scrumpus, the thing that you proposed is going to be a simple craft.
Scrumpus is really practical. His is going to be dead simple. It's just a straight bit of metal. He's going to curve it up at the front. It's going to be like a lip to it so that things don't fall off it.
Awesome. But yeah,
basically just, yes, a slate. You know what a slate is.
yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to say that that is a simple craft, and that is only going to require one success to create. Now, if you wanted to make it at a higher quality, it starts at poor, which is plus 20 difficulty, and increases in increments of 20 after that. I'm going to say mechanically what that's going to mean is a poor quality sled is going to be able to carry maybe 20 kilograms of stuff, and then increasing by increments of 10 kilograms that you basically could carry for free for each increment of quality higher. Do you want to think about how you want to do that while I talk through everybody else's?
No problem. One question though: what kind of supplies are we looking for here? Do you think that 20 kilograms of food is going to be enough for this abbey?
Well, it's things that you would be able to carry for free beyond your own carry weight. So 20 kilograms would be, you know, you figure they're getting through 2 kilograms of food a day. That would feed everybody for an additional 10 days, just that 20 kilograms, in addition to what everybody else can carry on their person.
What do we think, guys? Is that enough?
Seems fine.
You can try and do it a little bit better, Wolf Boy.
Well, considering nobody else thought to actually try and put together something to carry the fucking food in the first place.
You have arms.
Alright, so you were just going to come back with what you could fucking hold. Excellent. Good on you too. Now, you know what? Let's just go for this poor, simple sled.
Alright. So that is going to be plus 20 difficulty check, but because you are near to them as they're sustaining this magical rhythm, you're going to get an additional plus 10. So this is going to be a plus 30 check on a metalworking check to make this simple sled. Right.
So I need a 60. And I rolled a 59.
A success is a success, and hey, you only needed one because because it was a simple craft. So that is 4 XP in metalworking, and you have this rather simple sled that can allow you to carry 20 kilograms of stuff for free. Don't have to worry about it from your carrying capacity perspective, which is going to be plenty to help carry food through the wilderness here. And Jay, you said you wanted to make this sort of deceptive ring.
Yes.
Yes.
My goal is to make a very simple silver ring with a circular ruby set in the middle. My goal is to make it look real, but I don't give a shit if this thing, like, breaks off of someone's hand after a day of wearing it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to say that this is going to be a little bit more... It's going to have a slight penalty to add that element of it looks more expensive than it actually is, which is going to be a minus 10, which is going to cancel out the bonus that you get from the magic, but not from your kit.
Okay.
This is going to be an advanced craft, so it's going to require 5 successes. We're not doing all of this at once, so you will have some more chances for some other rolls. This is going to be... And I'm assuming that you're going for poor quality here.
Yeah, I don't care if this is shit. I just want it to look good enough that I can pawn it off to someone.
Got it. So this is going to be... It nets out to a plus 20 check, and then you said you wanted to use your jeweler's kit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you get the bonus from your jeweler's kit, makes it a plus 30 check, and you want 5 accumulated successes.
My metalworking is 36, so plus 30 to that, you said, yeah?
Yep, 66. And then we're going to count the tens on how many over successes you get.
So if I get any. Hey!
Oh, you got a lot. You were able to... Five. Pull this together very, very quickly. You get 4 XP in metalworking as you pull together this deceptively pretty silver ring with a little ruby in it.
Yeah. Definitely not iron and glass. Don't worry about it. You get anyone watching gets the immediate impression that merchant just means forger here.
You know what?
This is something he's done in every time he's gone for it.
That tracks... pretty much right on with the rest of the setting. And Jory, what would you like to do?
Well, I was thinking about making a banjo, but I kind of want to be a bastard and show off, show up Scrumpus and make a better snare. Out of wood.
Out of wood. Okay, so this is going to be a plus 0 woodworking, plus 0, or it could be more difficult if you want, woodworking check to create a rather simple sled.
I've only got a 35.
Alright, so with the magic of the Kindlers here, it is going to be a plus 10 if you want to try.
45 to beat.
Well, remember, you have to make it one level above mine to make it better.
I think at this moment a success with my level.
Plus, I mean, it's wood you're making out of. I made it out of metal. Let's,
No. Oh. Actually, no, wait. I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that you truly ruin a couple of planks of wood. Try and hammer some rivets in before they're cool enough that it just fully catches on fire and you have to douse it in the snow. Bit of a failure there. Rhett immediately starts making a rather simple pot holder that comes together rather quickly. And Jeremiah makes eye contact with you, Mo, and says under his breath, I thought you said you were going to throw it.
Oh, I made a fake fucking ring and I'm going to show it to a priest. Who does metalwork for a living? Do you think he's not going to be pissed about this? His entire thing is being a holy man of truth and good or whatever the fuck. Also, I'm probably not just going to say I didn't bother making anything if he really seems like he's not going to judge harshly. You're fine, you're fine.
Yes, I... thank you, thank you.
I'm lying to a priest in his own church. What do you want?
And I am going to say that he is quite mollified by your irreverence and is going to start whittling something out of a block of wood, and he is even holding the knife in a way that is just begging to lop off a finger.
Okay, fuck. Do you want help? I can help you with that if you want help. Because you might actually be doing worse than nothing.
Can I do something here to distract him so he does lop off a finger or something?
Yes, you absolutely can. Absolutely.
I have deception. I don't know if that would be...
Well, if he's injured, he can go, actually. That might work for my head.
I would say that this would be performance or... Yeah, I'm going to say that this would be performance, and he is darn close to doing it anyway. So I'm going to say that this is performance plus 20.
Ooh, yeah, no. That's... I've only had 67 on that, so yeah, no.
Alright, that's a failure. You still earn 1 XP in performance, and also you earn 1 XP in woodworking for the check that you failed earlier. So you, I'm gonna guess, like, play a note discordantly or something, that, and his hand slips, but not quite enough to make contact between blade and finger as he continues working. And Bernice is going to motion you aside as, you know, her extra appendage continues to play the drums in the background and say, you seem just as poorly suited to a journey like this as he does. Why do you seem to want to volunteer yourself for it?
Who, me?
Who else?
More for just the fun of it, really. And I think that guy's a bit of a weasel, and it'd be quite fun to watch him get a taste of his own bullshit.
Artists. They never care.
Not artists. Bastards.
But you repeat yourself. as she sort of grumpily gets back to her own work and her own creation. And I'm going to say, Jory, you have a little bit of time to create something. We're now getting to late morning, early afternoon. There's the heat from the forge has melted some of the snow on the outside, on the path leading to the well, leading to the trees that have been cut down for firewood to keep you warm. Jory, you're going to have some time to, you know, attempt another craft. The rest of you, you know, you've made your thing. Is there anything else you might like to take a look at before the next step of the celebrations?
I think I'm going to lend some aid to Jeremiah to make sure he doesn't miss a limb. End of this.
Do you want it to be more like giving him pointers, or are you going to fully like ghost him?
I think I want Mo to be as condescendingly bitchy as possible to this man while also actually helping him.
I'm going to call this a command check, and it's going to be a command plus 20.
Okay, command plus 20.
Yes.
Command 24. Ooh. So
44, almost 52.
I've been rolling too good. I've got a hit bad. Yep.
Oh, it's just a failure. It's just failed. Get 1 XP in command as he listens for a little while and then eventually grumpily says, well, it's not as though you're helping terribly much. And he gets up and moves away to sit somewhere else further away from you rather sullenly and continues working on what looks like he's taken enough wood off of this blank to the best thing he could be looking to make is a chopstick with
some
this.
Some people just don't want to be helped, I suppose.
Erzek says, I would hope that you would all take this a little bit more seriously.
I made a fucking sled.
And you did it well, and you made something that will help us in our journey. The smith smiles on you, Scrumptious.
Yeah.
Suck up.
Jory, you have another chance to make this sled or whatever else you might want to make.
I've just realized I have a woodworking kit. Should that do anything, or would that not do anything?
That will absolutely do something. You will get an extra bonus on top of the bonus that you're getting from them doing their magic. Bonuses from different sources absolutely stack. Right. So your next check at this, you will have a plus 20 in addition to the difficulty because of the magic and the kit.
Oh, that would be a 55.
All right, go ahead and roll it up.
Oh, well, second time's a charm.
Hey, there we go. All right. So you earn 6 XP in woodworking, and you now have a wooden sled that is going to be able to carry about 30 kilos worth of stuff. So between the two of you, you have made sleds that could carry an additional 50 kilos.
Just hold it up to Trump and say, look, I did it, and it's better than yours.
Two attempts for a shitey wooden sled. Very good, bud bite.
Oh, go fucking lick a hairball or something.
Absolutely. Scrumptious, what would you like to be doing while it's getting to early afternoon and the others are busy either annoying someone or making their own creation?
Oh, I think prepared for the journey, as Scrumptious is. He's a practical chap, so he's just going to curl up at the fire and get some rest.
All right. Would you like to curl up with a book or anything, or anything you might like to prepare for the journey?
I can prepare for the journey. Well, what's he got? He's got some dice. Maybe do some gambling.
All right. I'm going to say that Rhett has finished his project a little bit early and comes in to play some dice with you.
Yeah, you know what? He's going to try and strong-arm the merchant into gambling after not getting as much money out of him as he thought he would earlier.
Awesome. Awesome. So you play some dice with Rhett and Jeremiah, and I'm going to say... this is going to be an opposed check. Difficulty is determined by Jeremiah's skill in this. And you said strong arm. So are you trying to bluff him? So deception, trying to intimidate him might be command. Might be outplaying him would be business. How do you think you want to go about this?
So you're talking... intimidate, cheat, or
outwit.
Or outwit.
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely going for the intimidation route here.
Okay. This is going to be a command check plus 20.
Right. Command is 48. Need to make 68. Let's roll that one. He's successful.
Hey. Yes, that is absolutely successful. Luck's gonna save you.
I've seen better odds with a blade at my own throat.
And he smiles and yes. Best of luck to you.
Best of luck. You better hope your luck holds out longer than your spine.
Yes. And also mark down 4 XP in command. The rest of you, the two of you who are still outside with Urzek and Bernice, when you've wrapped up your creations, the drums slow down. You see sweat on both of their brows from the effort of keeping up the rhythm for hours while you worked.
And Urzek says, yes, it is good that we have all made something, and that so many have chosen to make things that would aid us in our journey, aid us in the journey into the snows tomorrow. Bernice, I must begin my vigil for the evening. Would you take care of them for the nightly repast? And you see a sort of sad smile on her face, and she says, yes, Urzek, I will take care of them. And I'll take care of the head abbot, too. And she gestures for the two of you to follow her back into the forge. She, at this point, seems a little bit upset as she leads you back inside and says, I don't know why you're going along with him. This whole adventure seems destined for death.
Death comes for us all in time. I'm sitting around waiting to see if it will come. It's never been my style. Also, personally, I know you've lived in these lands for years. This may be disrespectful, but it doesn't seem all that dangerous or difficult. The snow will be unpleasant, but the work of the town seems very doable.
Doable? He understates the challenge ahead of you greatly. It is 50 miles...
That would be good to know earlier.
I told you he was on a suicide mission. How did you not pick up on that?
He told you to tell us the details of our quest, and you didn't. You told us we should go wait instead.
Wind's howling, but I've faced worse. We're not staying here to freeze and starve.
Oh, you'd know that howling, wouldn't you?
I'm bored of this audience. I could do it for another one.
It will be 50 miles through the snow with avalanches, cliffs and gullies, not to mention all manner of predators who are going to be a little bit hungrier this year because the snows came sooner. I wish you would listen to me and we could seek another outcome.
Predators are just another thing we can eat out there that we can't eat in here.
You seem set. I don't know that there's anything I can do to convince you otherwise. I'll pray for you and make something in your name come springtime. And at this point, Rhett, who has been doing most of the cooking, starts to put together a stew with what supplies at this point. It's salted meat that they have to soak for hours to make it edible, and dried vegetables, beans, but not much. As you all huddle around the fire and you hear the thrum of drums outside as Urzek is doing something else to honor the holiday. And the drumming goes for hours while you eat. Everyone seems a little bit quiet, a little bit dour, even. What would you all like to do this evening?